Seven. Very popular topic tonight regarding our family life. Very, very look forward to it. I know you're excited about this. Harnessing the heat. Harnessing the heat is tonight's topic. Ephesians chapter 4. It is not a long text, and we'll be right to it as soon as I get over here. Trust you're following along there. And notes, you can find a piece of paper, scrap piece of paper there to follow along with some notes. If you're visiting with us tonight, we're delighted to have you with us here at our church. You are always welcome. It says, for us, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. May the Lord's blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray for just a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are your children. We've been adopted. We are sons and daughters of God. What an amazing thing it is to consider that you are our Heavenly Father, and you are one who watches over us, and we can cry, Abba, Father, to you. Lord, bless those Miss Cindy teaching next door. Bless our church family. May we be lighthouses this week for you. Bless our time together. And Lord, it is a difficult topic for sure. Help us all to not to look at our neighbor and say, here it is for the neighbor. It is for us this evening, for all of us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. There's a 27-year-old man who pleaded guilty to assault. He was arrested for an accosting a 59-year-old woman in St. Paul, Minnesota. They were waiting for a bus, and he began yelling at her, "Why don't you show me some respect?" And she took out a cell phone to call the police, and he hit her. Then a 63-year-old man intervened on behalf of the woman, and the angry young man hit him with a folder, which fell to the ground, and he ran away. Well, the police were able to track down this very young man because in the folder it had his homework from his anger management class, which he was heading toward when he got angry at the woman. So there we are. You know, we've often heard this, I don't know where it came from, he lost his temper. I'm telling you, he didn't lose it or wouldn't have come to the surface. If you lose something, you don't know where it is. But when people act out of sorts like that, they have not lost their temper. They are, I believe, showing their temper. There's three C's. There is a command. Be ye angry. There's a command. The very first part, it's an imperative mood. It's a positive command to express anger the right way. Angry means a deep-seated determination, a settled conviction. It comes from the word that means to be red-faced. It gives the impression of a person who's clenched his face and his face is red and I'm not angry, when he really is very, very angry in turn. A very difficult situation to be sure. If you're in the public eye, perhaps a banker, perhaps other people, I remember, you have to back them off the ledge and get them to stop being so angry and be calm. A soft answer turneth away wrath. And that's the anger. So the word can speak of an emotion that is good for us, though, as well. Be ye angry and sin not. My coworker was telling me they just busted a sex trafficking ring in Summit area of Ashland. And I was like, wow, that makes me angry when you think about how people are mistreated. Especially young people, but all people involved in it. Some people think they have to do it. It's the only way they can make a living. But some, it's not, no choice at all. It just makes we want to do something to take care of people who are involved in that, helping those who are involved, and just ridding ourselves of the others, to be honest. That's what my flesh wants to say. So not all angry is wrong. The Bible says, now if the Bible gives us command, we're able to do it, right? Yes, with his help. Be angry and sin not. So we can be angry at the right kind of things. Now, there are some things that inspired our wrath. Even our Lord was angry at times. In Mark 3:5, it says in Mark chapter 3, verse 5, on the Sabbath day, and when they looked around upon them with anger, he had looked upon them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and the man was restored whole as another. That'd be a very good thing for a song. Stretch forth thy hand, said the master. That would make a good song. Somebody have already written it, I'm sorry. It's actually a very pretty song. And I can't remember the guy that sings it. He was angry with those who turned the house of God into a place of merchandise. In Matthew 21 and John 2, we find he gets out the whip and whips him into cleans house. And so he was angry at that. But that is okay. God, I started studying anger some time back, did not finish it up, but it's almost every time the Lord is angry. The Lord is angry. God is angry at sin. We ought to be angry at sin. We should be. By the way, we have a hard time reconciling the acts of this Jesus who cleaned house at the temple with a meek, milquetoast person who Art was a manly man. Our Savior was a manly man. And so he cleaned house. Jesus was angered by anything that misrepresents or maligns the Heavenly Father or true worship. In Psalm 69, verse 6, "Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those who seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel." What do people think about Jesus according to our lives? Was it Tozier who said, "The most important thing is what you the most important thing about you is what you think of when you think of God"? He's my Savior. He controls it all. So what do you think about? What is your impression of God when you think about God? He was angered, Jesus was, by those who used religion as a club to oppress people of God. He was angered by hypocrisy. He was angered by false religion. So it is okay to be ye angry. Matter of fact, we are told to do that. Now, tomorrow at work, somebody gets you sideways and you fly off the handle. Well, the pastor said, be angry and sin not. That's what the Bible says. By the way, whatever the pastor says is not important compared to what the Bible says. Now, there are things that should make us angry. Should be angered by the murder of innocent children, through the horror of abortion, through euthanasia, through the damaging of our own children, now licensed to things that are being done to children 20 years ago, the doctor would have been put in jail for, that he's allowed to do to our own children. Evil perpetuated upon the innocents. I think of the Hamas. I think of the Russian soldiers who I believe did some real traumatic things when they invaded Ukraine. How about the drug people down in Mexico? You've heard all the difficult stories of how they're abusing children before they ever cross into America. There's sin. Yes. But now, before we start throwing at only everybody else's sin, we need to examine our own selves. We should be angry that the family has been undermined and destroyed in our society. God has set forth marriage and a family, and he's already dictated what it is. It's not five men and seven women. It's not three and two, two and three, five and six, four and two. It's one man and one woman, period. That's what he said. The nuclear family, and now perhaps your family has had to where maybe you're not the original family that you had originally, but I say the family you have now, you need to honor God with it. A couple, a family, whatever. You need to put God first. We should be angry when a minority who engages in a lifestyle that's against God's word has such clout in our own country, and they're trying to force that sin down our throats and to accept it. I say nay. I'm not going to accept that. And I'm going to tell you, in love, it's just wrong. It's wrong, God. It's been wrong. Matter of fact, in our society, there were laws against this in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. There's still a law against transporting pornography through the mail. Did you know that? It's called the Comstock Act. It's still wrong to do that, and they want to rid that, but the people in Congress don't want to have their name on the bill that rids us of that. They don't want to put their name on that, but they really like to have rid of it. Many would. There's so many things that we could say. You should be angered by the injustice. Should be angered by the assaults of God's word and the doctrines of faith. It just really makes me frustrated. And people who know nothing about the Bible come to man and say the Bible doesn't know. You don't know what you're talking about. Just sit down. My father-in-law would say, "Sit down and be still." That was his favorite thing. Someone was acting. You just need to be still. So, I love my father-in-law. He loved me. I was like the only person that he would let my wife date. And so, anyway, we had a great relationship all of our lives because I was the golden child in many ways. And so we'll take it. Now, anger, someone has said, can either be kindled by hell or put by the fire of the altar of God. Holy anger is a fearsome thing. Anyone who could not be angry at the seduction of an innocent child, some great display of depravity, or some terrible injustice is either a spineless coward or has no moral convictions. There should be some things that stir us up to action. Praying at least. David Siemens said these words, "Anger is a divinely implanted emotion closely allied to our instinct for right. It is designed to be used for constructive spiritual purposes. The person who cannot feel anger at evil is a person who lacks enthusiasm for good. If you cannot hate wrong, it's very questionable whether you really love righteousness." So there should be this clear delineation. We've tried to blur the lines of church and society in our day and age. Well, that's okay now. Well, we need to be a little more giving. We do need to be caring. We do need to be compassionate. But we also need to be unified on God's word. That's where the principles come from. When we stray from this, you're just going bad. It's just bad. There's nothing good when you stray from God's word. So there's a command, be ye angry. And there's a caution to the caution, and sin not. I like this little blurb. There is a problem with this matter of being angry. We are rarely angry at the right people, about the right things, at the right moment, in the right ways, for the right reason, for the right amount of time. Rarely could we check those things off. That's why Paul writes, be ye angry and sin not. We have a hard time controlling most aspects of our anger. Most of the time, our anger is selfish in nature. We're angry because that car in front of us went so slow, we caught that light. Don't you know that people want to get somewhere? You must not have any purpose in your life because you're sitting there and you're not driving like you have a purpose. Listen, if you're in that car, you should have a purpose for going somewhere, get there, and then go back home. And that's the way it should be. Now that's just my personal problem. And maybe no one else has that same problem. We're angry because we're hurt or we are offended or we are slighted. I tell you, people respond inappropriately when they think they've been embarrassed. People have been embarrassed. They've come to me and said some things to me because they were embarrassed about things. It's like, I have to take a step back. Well, I know why she's responding like that, because she's embarrassed. And so she's responding in a certain way, or he's responding a certain way. Sinful anger is always self-serving, self-defensive. It's always anger at what's done to myself. It's this kind of anger that leads to a hateful spirit and eventually a judgment of God. Look at Matthew, please. Matthew 5:21, the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5:21, if you would there, please. It's this kind of anger. It's just going to spill over. Have you ever noticed how anger spills over? Two cats. They meet, one's angry at the other. They start rearing, get closer, and they're standing there, just look at each other down, and they start. Then it ratchets, whenever they finally actually go at it, it ratchets. I don't have to do all those things, but it does those kind of things. It starts ratcheting up, and it bleeds over on other people. 21 of Matthew 5. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old that thou shalt not kill, and whoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say unto his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. That first part there of 22, without a cause. There's a difference between anger that is good and anger that is sin. It's the focus of the anger. The rule of thumb is this. If you are angry about something that affects you, how you feel or what you think, it's often a sinful anger. Sinful anger. I will make suggestions. It works sometimes. And the decision is made. It's not what I suggested. And sometimes things are done without even asking me. The nerve of all things. And sometimes it's just outside my purview. If they'd wanted my opinion, they'd ask for it. Sometimes things happen into our lives that we just have to take a step back. Well, God's yet in control. And so I need to mind my P's and Q's and do what I'm supposed to do. And then let him have the rest. If you're angry about harm done to God and to others, it is a righteous anger, I believe. The blasphemy of God's name should get us fired up. Hearing people talk about our Savior in some wrong capacity should have us, that's not right. So litmus test for anger is this. Am I angry because this is happening to me? Or does my anger exist because a terrible wrong is being done to somebody else? Especially God. Frederick Buchner said this. I like this. Of the seven deadly sins, he says, anger is possibly the most fun. To lick your wounds, to smack your lips over grievances long past, to roll over your tongue, the prospect of bitter confrontation still to come, to savor in the last toothsome morsel both the pain you are given and the pain you're giving back. In many ways, it is a feast fit for a king. The chief drawback is this, that what you're wolfing down is yourself. And the skeleton at the feast is you. Is you and I. And some people, you're probably angry at, maybe you're bitter at, I hope not, you're not bitter at, but you're angry at, and they don't even know it. And they're living their lives happy, and you don't know how much, and they don't even know how you feel about them. It's not hurting them one iota. It's me. So anger becomes sin. If it's really centered on self, we're to control our anger. But Pastor, you hit just on it. That's my problem. I can't control my anger before I even think it. I explode and I have this really, really short fuse. And the truth of the matter is that you can control your anger. It's just you do not, W-A-N-T, to control your anger. How so, Pastor? You and your husband or you and your wife are just getting... And the pastor calls, oh, hi, Pastor. How are you? Oh, I trust you've had a great day. Oh, here at the house... We're just having a dandy time. It is so peaceful. We're just praising God all day long. Thank you, Pastor. Yes, I'll be at the breakfast. Yes, I'll be happy to bring scrambled eggs. Yes, I'll be happy to do that for you. Thank you, Pastor. Can you not? Or your boss calls at work, calls you. And Sherry would go, Tim, can you come to the office, please? Yes, ma'am. I'll be right there. So here, can you close the door? Can you sit down? Yes. About that time, I get an impression, you know, it's not going to be a good thing for somebody somewhere. Now, it doesn't always happen. And our interim director is excellent. And if she stayed on, I'd be happy. The new guy's coming is good too. But you just know sometimes when that happens. But you control your anger because you respond in the right way if you want to. But Pastor, you're not trying hard enough, I don't believe. You think you have been misdone to, if that's not even correct, you think that you have been mistreated. I'm telling you, there was a Savior, the Savior, who was mistreated beyond anybody's imagination we can even think, and he always responded correctly. So examples of when it is wrong, when you allow it to resentment and to anger outbursts, it says in Ephesians 4:31, if you want to turn back over there, I won't be turning a lot of them, but it's a couple of them. Ephesians 4:31, that'll get us back in Ephesians 4. Look what it says in Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Oh, with all malice. So all those things are to be put away from us. It's wrong when you plot the downfall of another person, either through gossip or slander or plotting or campaigning. When it grows to be vengeful and vindictive. Dearly beloved, Romans 12:19, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. It's wrong when it consumes our lives and all we think about is the person who has wronged us. It wrongs when it stifles our worship and hinders our faithfulness to God and fills us with bitterness and undermines our joy. Your anger's got control of you, not you control of it. In 1967, point guard Walt Frazier came into the league. He's still alive. I think he's a color commentator, I think, still on TV even today. But he was in a basketball game with the Washington Bullets, and they were playing, and a guy came up behind him and punched Frazier in the face, and the foul was called on Frazier. He didn't get mad. He got even. He asked the ball for 7 times in a row and scored every time, and they won the game. See, it's how he handled his anger. And August 30th of 1984, the year of our wedding, Bruce Goodrich was being initiated into the cadet corps at Texas A&M. One night, Bruce Goodrich was forced to run until he dropped, and although he dropped and he never got up, he died that day before he ever entered college. A short time after the tragedy, Bruce's father wrote this letter to the administration, faculty, and student body, and the cadet, Corps of Cadets. He said, quoting, I would like to take this opportunity to express the appreciation of my family for the great outpouring of concern and sympathy from Texas A&M University and the college community over our loss of our son, Bruce. We were deeply touched by the tribute paid to him on the battalion. We were particularly pleased to note that his Christian witness did not go unnoticed during his brief time on campus. Mr. Goodrich went on, the father, I hope it will be some comfort to know that we harbor no ill will in the matter. We know our God makes no mistakes. Bruce had an appointment with his Lord and is now secure in his celestial home. When the question is asked, why did this happen? Perhaps one answer will be so that many will consider where they will spend eternity. Amen. Now that is an amazing response to such a difficult. And by the way, I was reading about it, and three were charged with hazing on that incident. Three other were found guilty of hazing, and he died and that very night. But the father and mother, what a response. So there's a command, there is a caution, and finally there is a condition. If you're back in our text in chapter 4 of Ephesians, it says, be angry, command, caution, sin not, and here's our condition, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And I'll just tell you, there is a little caveat here. We have to be careful because if you're in Alaska, you could actually have all summer and the sun not go down. You could be angry all summer. So it's the whole. I've taken it two ways. I've always taken it literally. I think for us, we should get our accounts settled. If you got something against your brother, get it settled before you go to bed. Get it set. Because otherwise you're going to fret and stew and waller around at the night and not be able to sleep very well. And so get it settled then. That's my I think that's a good way to. Have I always done that? No, I have not always done that. And secondly, it needs to be done, you know, get it done now. Don't waste time. Let not the sun. It behooves us to get this resentment over because anger simmers into resentment. Resentment soon turns to bitterness. Bitterness turns into a root of self-righteousness that chokes the life, peace, and joy out of you and everyone you come in contact with. Have you ever met an angry person? There's a few. We meet some of those sometimes, and they're just, no matter what you say, no matter what you do, they just want to be angry. They have a right in their mind to be angry, and they very well may have been mistreated wrongly, but it doesn't give us right as Christians to do that. It's contagious. They attack others' lives and they drag down other victims in the snare of anger. It will bleed over happiness. Do you remember the old Disney Pollyanna where she was always looking for the good in people and people started looking in the good for other people and they started doing the right thing and all, and you know, she fell and I think she broke her leg or something and was and et cetera. But people just changed. Because of one young girl, and it's not a spiritual movie, but the principle I think is true. If you will be kind and it will bleed, and just the opposite, if you're old, grungy, dungy, angry all the time, I don't want to be around you. So if you see me like that, have I been angry? So if I see you like that, it's me. And verse 27, which we don't really spend a lot of time on, and we're not going to spend, sadly, a lot of time on either. Neither give place to the devil. You ever heard of a beachhead? Beachhead, a place we're going to... I saw Iran promised yesterday, if you allow a third party to launch something at us from your country, we're coming for you too. You cannot attack us. You cannot allow. So in other words, if an American base is on a certain other country and we launch from that base, they're going to consider that the country that's allowing us in there, they're going to be in trouble too. We're going to be in trouble with them no matter what we do. So we might as well protect their. That's Israel. You can tell Israel all till the cows come home, stop fighting. They stop fighting. They stop existing. Do you not? Their existence is more important than the United Nations, which we need to put in a river and be done with. That's my personal opinion. Has no purpose. Half of their bills have been against Israel. Half of their declarations, I believe, truly, at least half of their declarations have gone against Israel. I'm going to tell you, it's an anti-Israel group of people together. Personal opinion, you can mark that from the official message. That's my personal thought. But anyway, the place. This, if you allow anger, devil's going to use that to hurt your Christian walk. What a testimony are you? It's not going to be a good testimony at all. Vengeance is the Lord's. We're not to go on the attack. When he has allowed a place in our lives, he will cause us to seek revenge in violation of the clear teaching of Scripture. Vengeance is God. He will take care, and by the way, he will take care of things a lot better. Now, in my selfishness, I would say, you know, all these people, they just need to be taken care of. And God just needs to remove them. And they need to suffer for this. That's again, but that's myself, and so do I need to suffer for my sin too. But God is gracious. I'm not a greater. They're not a greater sinner than me. The ISIS people, or whoever that is, they're no greater sinners. I'm a great sinner too, in need of salvation. There's a man, a much lighter note. There's a man who told his physician, he was told by his physician that he had rabies. Upon hearing this, the patient immediately pulled out a pad and a pencil and a tract, and started writing down all these names of the people. And the physician said, "Sir, you're not going to die of rabies. There's a cure for rabies." He goes, "Oh, I know that. I'm just making a list of people I'm going to bite." Revenge. I don't know if it's true or not, but there was an ad in the paper, "Wedding dress for sale, never worn, will trade for a 38 pistol." This article from a psychologist, Gary Emery, who said this: although a school of thought recommends that you verbally express your hostility, a great deal of recent research has found that the opposite to be the case. Researchers have found that freely venting your anger corrodes relationships and breeds more anger, not less. In one recent study, only 1 out of 300 happily married couples reported that they yell at each other. And I wonder if they were truthful or not. 1 of the 300. Instead of being vengeful, we should be like the preacher who always refused to take revenge on his folks. He said, "I'm not going to get even. I'm going to tell God on you." Tell God on you. In case of anger, whether it's legitimate or not, if it's allowed to run, the conclusion, according to Paul here, it says, neither give place to the devil. It can become a bad thing. Now, again, righteous indignation is good. But any kind of hint of wrong anger is going to be bad for us. It says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Satan wants to come in. He wants to trip us up. We should not be ignorant of that. And every time you give him an inch, he's going to take 5 miles. He'll take everything. And then he will laugh at you when you give in to your sin. He cannot make you sin. He cannot make you sin. You, by God's power, don't have to sin. If you neglect God's power, you can possibly then sin. Unrighteous anger opens the door of your life so that the enemy can come in quick and wreak havoc. John Calvin, in his sermons of Ephesians, said this. He says that verse 27 ought to make the hair on our heads stand up. It said Satan's a hideous enemy who seeks to destroy and devour you like a roaring lion. If there were a lion loose in your neighborhood, I'm sure you'd lock all the doors at night. Sinful anger leaves your door ajar against a lion prowling for souls. If you don't want a lion loose inside your house, you've got to deal with your anger biblically. True that. We don't agree with all he said on things, but I would agree with that regarding anger. When Satan gets involved, he will lead our anger to self-pity, to pride, self-righteousness, vengeance, defense of our rights, and every other sort of selfish sin and violation of God's word. That's why, look at what Jesus said in 5:23, back over to our Sermon on the Mount, 5:23-26, Matthew 5:23, Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, Matthew 5:23-26, if you want to turn back over there if you can for just a moment. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to thy altar, and remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. We are to do and answer things right, and we are to, if we've got something against our brother, make it right. Do not find the right outlet for anger. It will destroy us, someone has said. Abraham Lincoln, Secretary of War, Edwin Stanton, came to Abraham Lincoln and said, "Sir," he said, "I was angered by an army officer who accused me of favoritism." And Lincoln said, "You need to write him." He said, "I'll do that." And so I've written a letter. And he read through it. "What are you going to do with it?" And Stanton said, "Well, I'm going to send it to him." He said, No, you don't want to send that letter. You put that one in the fire and write another. Because you've had your chance to bear your grievances. Used a good letter. But now write another. and be kind with it. And that's what Lincoln would do. Someone would anger him, he'd write. It's sort of today, write a text. And then you erase it before you send it. And then you write, thank you very much for how much I appreciate you for doing that. Ding! Wow! Woo-hoo. And a little quote I found just this afternoon that fits right in here. I believe it will. It says this. It says, a man is about as big as the things that make him angry. A man is about as big as the things that make him angry. If you are a patient in a one moment of anger, you will escape 100 days of sorrow. If you're a patient in one moment of anger, you will escape 100 days of sorrow. By the way, I just showed my wife today, you can retract a text. If you send a text, you hold it down, hold your finger on there, and it pops up, and you can hit delete, send, and it takes it right off. Takes it right off. She used it today. Saved me a lot. No, she used it today. It says in Proverbs, has some really great admonitions regarding anger. In 14:17, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. An angry man in 9:22 stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. 15:18, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. You get angry, your spirit gets out of control, and he is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Do you remember in chapter 4 of Genesis, we understand that that God, confronting Cain, God says to him, why are you angry? Why does thou do to be angry? God wasn't puzzled about Cain's anger. He wanted Cain to look inside and see, why are you angry? You've been disobedient, by the way. He was disobedient. He was not offered. And I asked that question in Sunday school, and spot on, the answer was, he did not bring blood for the sacrifice. That was it. He was disobedient to God. Matthew Henry says, I like this, if we would be angry and not sin, we must be angry at nothing but sin, and we should be more jealous for the glory of God than for any interest or reputation of our own. That's what we should be. We should be interested in how does people look at our Savior in light of what we're doing and saying and how we're responding. Proverbs 19:11, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and his glory to pass over a transgression. But you, what did they do? Just pass over the transgression. We don't have to have revenge. Let God take care of those things. Wrath is cruel. Proverbs 27:4. Anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? I'm telling you, if you let your temper go, you need to confess that to God and stop it. It's pretty simple. Be ye angry and sin not. Now, if you're angry at things that are happening in the world that are sinful, if you're angry that people are blaspheming God, then be angry for that sin. But when you're angry because you have been something, some little things happened to you that has messed up your schedule, you need to confess that and stop being like that and grow up in the Lord. And maybe grow up maturely too. But grow up in the Lord and stop it. Just stop it. Because you affect everybody in your home, family, when you're doing that, whether you're the husband, wife, child, etc. We need to get a handle on that. It's 1894. The Orioles were playing the Red Sox. The Orioles, John McGraw, got into a fight with the Boston Red Sox third baseman. Within minutes, all the players had piled on and joined into the brawl, and then it went out to the stands. Among the fans, the conflict went from bad to worse. Someone set fire to the stands of the baseball park, and the entire ballpark burned to the ground. And not only that, 107 other buildings in Boston burned to the ground because two guys let their anger get out of control. Out of control. You say, well, Pastor, we've got fire. Yes, you do. We got firefighters now. We understand that. We probably couldn't even sit. Their seats are plastic and won't even burn. That's not the point. The point is when you let yourself go, well, I just came unglued on her or him. Whoa. That speaks far more about you than it does the person that they probably deserved it. Oh, well, that doesn't matter whether they deserved it or not. Because they hurt me. I've got to respond. No, you don't have to respond. Lord, just help me. Step back. Count to 10, count to 100, whatever it takes. Get it. Walk away from the situation. Say, Lord, I can't do this myself. I want to say something I should not say. But Lord, I just remember the pastor said something about a wrong word says and one day will cost me 100 days of sorrow. And I don't want 100 days of sorrow. And that's not the pastor's words. It's not even from the Bible. But the principle, I think, is there. The problem is that we are seldom angry in the right way about the right things at the right moment and the right amount. Ben Franklin said this, anger is never without a reason, but seldom with a good one. And that is it. If you're struggling with your anger, yield not to temptation to be angry, for yielding almost for every time for us is sin, because it's not righteous anger at the right things. May God help us as families, as husbands, wives, children, that we will ask God to help us. If anger is a problem, perhaps it's not a problem for you. Praise the Lord. Develop that fruit of the Spirit. But if it is a problem, ask God to help you and truly lose your anger to never be seen again. Lose your temper. Let's pray. Lord, help us to harness the heat in our lives. We can only do that, I will say, with your help, even as Christians. But Lord, the purpose of the Christian life is to allow you to live through us so we can respond in the right way. Lord, forgive me for times I have been angry at my wife, our family, other people, just needless. Lord, I confess, I struggle with driving and being behind slow people. Lord, help me just to, I'll get there. Maybe 10 seconds later, I'll get there. So Lord, forgive me for that. Help me with that. Lord, I pray that you would work, because I need your help, and forgive me for not being more ambitious to get that settled. So, Lord, I pray that you help us all this week. If anger is our problem, ask the Holy Spirit to help us. And whatever it takes to truly lose our tempers once and for all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.